Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Now this is the second post-Pentecost message. Peter preaching again in this message. Of course, his first message is on the day of Pentecost, and now this is another message, the next message. Message number 2 of Peter. And you could read a big part of the message, but this is kind of the closing comments of the message. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, or that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. Now, you know, the message of repentance is a Bible message. If you read the Bible at all, if you give much time to reading the Bible, you're going to see the theme of repentance again and again and again. Even the word repentance or repenting or repented is used over 100 times in the Scripture. And both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it has the basic same meaning. In the New Testament, the Greek word, which is the word metanoia, is a word that means to change your mind or to turn around and change your direction. That's what repentance is. And so whenever Peter preaches this message, and actually in his message there on the day of Pentecost, he calls them to repentance when they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he responds and says, repent. Repent. And again here in the second message, it's a Bible message that always precedes the blessing and the favor of God. Amen. If you want God working and moving in your life, then make a turn. Change your direction. Turn toward God. You see, you can't depend on the pastor to repent for you. You can't count on mom and dad to repent for you. Nobody can do your repenting. That's up to you. It is your act of your will to repent, to change your mind, to change your direction. And I'm not saying that God isn't involved. And I'm certainly not saying that it isn't a work of the Spirit of God as God brings you to that place of repentance. But the actual act of it, which is a willful act, you have to decide. You have to make up your mind. You have to make a turn. As to turn to the Lord. And I remember as a young person how that I came to a time that I had to do that. I had to say, okay, I'm gonna leave all of it behind and I'm gonna turn toward God. And I'm gonna follow Jesus. And I'm gonna turn from everything else. You remember in the Old Testament when Jonah was called upon by God to go to Nineveh and to preach to those Ninevites who were wicked and evil, and their wickedness had come up before God. And Jonah was called to go to them and to preach to them and to warn them of the judgment that was going to come upon that city. Now, Jonah didn't want to do it. He was prejudiced. He hated the Ninevites. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want any good thing to come their way. He wanted the judgment of God to fall upon them. And so instead of doing what God called him to do, the Bible says that he went his own way. He went toward Tarshish, and he bought a ticket, and he went down into the boat. And that was the. Let me tell you, whenever you take a step away from the will of God, it's just a continual downward way. You just keep going down. It says that he went out from the presence of the Lord. What a terrible thing! To think that you can make a decision to ignore the will of God. And when you do, that you're going to be leaving the presence of God. He went out against, away from the presence of the Lord. You know the story. And all the kids know the story about Jonah and what happened to him. But God caught up with him. And God brought him to the place that Jonah had to repent. And he's in the belly of that fish at the bottom of the sea. And there he is repenting and calling out to God to have mercy upon him. And God has mercy upon him. And he's set back in the direction that he's supposed to go, all the way down to Nineveh. When he gets to Nineveh, to cross the city is a 3-day journey. And for 3 days, he's crossing the city of Nineveh and he's preaching the judgment of God. 3 days. And God is going to judge Nineveh in 3 days. What's amazing, when you read through the text there of the story, it came to the ears of the king. He heard about the judgment of God. You would have thought that he would have been resistant, proud, hard-hearted. But no, he heard the message. And the Bible says that he put off his robes. That was really something for him to do, to put off his robe. He put off his kingly attire and he humbled himself. He put on sackcloth and ashes upon his head. And he commanded everyone all over the city of Nineveh to do the same thing. And they all put on sackcloth and ashes and they fasted and they repented. Even the animals and the entire city, everybody repented. And God heard their prayer of repentance. That's an amazing, amazing Bible story, isn't it? That God heard the prayer of that king. He heard the prayer of those wicked Ninevites who did not deserve forgiveness, deserve another chance, but God was merciful and he sent a prophet to preach to them and to warn them, and they heard it and they repented. Amen. Praise God. In the New Testament, just as soon as John the Baptist, the first prophet in 400 years, as soon as he steps on the scene, his message is repent for the remission of sins. That's what he's doing. He's preaching repentance. As soon as Jesus' ministry begins and he comes out of the wilderness, he preaches then from that time, Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I already mentioned that on the first message on the day of Pentecost, that he is calling them to repent. And then in the text that we read to you here, he is calling them to repent, to have a change of mind, a change of heart, and to change their direction. As I said, no one can do your repenting for you. But when you're confronted with the fact that you're wrong and you're disobedient to God and you're willful toward God and the things of God, then the only thing that you can do is repent and call upon God and ask the Lord to turn your life and to turn, to change the direction of your life. Repentance is a vital, vital message today. Because you see, there are many, they're promoting the fact that you can come to Jesus and just accept Jesus you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not a whole lot is said about repenting of your sins or changing your life or turning from your sin. But whenever Peter preaches this message about repentance, it is a message that brings life change. Life change. I don't know. I want to encourage you. I want you to believe God. To believe that God can begin. We need to be a people of faith to believe that God can change people. He can change people. And when people come to this altar, even with all the baggage of their sin and their trouble and their problems, we need to believe that God can change people and he can redirect them. He can set them on a whole new pathway. and change their life. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing that God will do, that he's going to bring about that kind of a change. Amen. You can't repent for anyone else. No one can repent for you, but you have to be confronted with the direction of your life and be willing to admit what I'm doing and how I'm living is not pleasing to the Lord. And I have to turn from that and follow the Lord. And when you turn and you begin to move toward Jesus Christ, then you're going to be face to face with the cross of Jesus Christ. And there, a place where you can find forgiveness and your life can be changed. And then you'll have the ability, you'll have the capacity that God will give to you to live a life that is pleasing to his will. Amen. So from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, in the book of Acts and through the writings of the Apostle Paul. Remember the Apostle Paul when he was there in Athens, that he said, I see that you've got all these various gods that you worship. But there's one that's to the unknown God. That's the one that I serve. Let me preach to you about him. And he spoke to them. They were arrogant and proud. And many of them felt like that they, you know, were intelligent and wise. But he preached repentance to them as well. He told them that they needed to repent. He said, the times of this ignorance God winked up, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Why do we need to repent? Because one of these days we're all going to stand before God, and he's going to judge us all. And so we are to live a life. Not only do we repent to turn to Jesus and to become a Christian, but we are to live a life that we're constantly aware that we have stepped away from God and that we need to confess and repent of those things and get back on track. Amen. Back in the direction that God has called us that we should follow. Even in the book of Revelation, when he goes through the messages there of those seven churches in Asia, go through that, read that, and see the many times that they're called, repent, 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 repent. If you'll repent, then I'll come and I'll do my first works all over again. If you'll repent, then I'll return to you. Constantly reminded that we are to be a people of repentance. Amen. We have to turn from our wicked way. This is a message that's ignored in some circles today, because it's all about what Jesus can do for you. It's all about the benefits of the gospel. And we're grateful for all that God has done. But the beginning of that and the blessing that comes to your life, it begins for your will when you become willing to humble yourself and to change your life, to turn from what you have been, and to allow God to change you and to work in your life and make a new creature out of you. Praise God. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Praise God. We pray for the lost to be saved. And we better expect that people will come, and the ones that we're going to be, that we reach out to, that they're going to be all entangled up in the mess of sin. And the only hope for them is to turn from their sin. But we have to believe that God can work, and he can move supernaturally to bring hope and salvation to an individual and to their family and to their household. Sister McAdams, I just chose one of the messages that was on there, and it was her testimony of how she got saved. Didn't know anyone. Was raised up in Pennsylvania in a Catholic home. She was 15 years old. She said, the first time I was ever confronted with the possibility of the gospel was, she said, I was in a strawberry patch. Praise God. She said, I was picking strawberries. And she said, I looked up and I saw my cousin that was just a little older than me. and he was walking toward me. And she said, something started going over in my mind. I saw in his face, in his countenance, something was different about him. She said, it so stirred up in me. And then when he got to her, he told her what had happened the night before, that he'd went to a church service and he'd heard the gospel, and that he'd prayed and repented and he'd come to the Lord. And she said, I walked out of that strawberry patch thinking, I want what he has. And so she goes home. Her parents are Catholics, and they just think she's just, you know, a goofy young girl, and they don't want to hear what she's got to say. So she goes to her grandparents, and begins to talk to her grandparents, and first of all her grandmother, and she talks to her grandmother about what she wanted to do. And she went to her bedroom, and she knelt down at the bed, and she prayed and repented of her sins, and she got saved. Amen. She didn't know anything about the Bible. She didn't know anything about how to serve the Lord, how to follow the Lord. She just knew that there was something going on in that young man's life, and she wanted it too. And God was working and convicting her heart. And she continued then witnessing her. Her grandmother was the next one that knelt down at a bedside with her and repented and got saved. Then her grandfather got saved. This was salvation coming to a household in the early 40s. And the whole house knowing nothing about God. Her parents still were not saved. And she said, I was learning to play the piano, and I knew how to play the piano with two fingers. And she said, we had an old hymn book there, and she said, we didn't even have a Bible in the house. But she found different of those songs, and she would pick out those songs and sing those songs. And she said that it just encouraged her and blessed her, and she received so much just from that. This is someone seeking after God, searching after God, and her life was turned around. She sang those songs, her mother and dad didn't want to hear that. Her father became so upset with her playing those songs that while she's gone, she goes somewhere, I don't know, school or somewhere. When she comes home, the piano is gone, and they said, where's the piano? And they said, well, your dad took it to the barn. And so she goes to the barn, and the piano has been tore into many pieces. It's been tore all to pieces. And she's so sad that this has happened. And her dad just said, well, I'm just building another piece of furniture that we needed more. And she said, my dad was a mechanic and could do anything, but he couldn't do anything. Carpentry. He couldn't build anything. And she knew he wasn't telling her the truth. Later on, then she realized that when she was plucking out those little songs and singing those hymns, when she didn't even have a Bible to read, that those songs were convicting her father and her mother. When she sang those songs about Jesus and about salvation and about the hope of eternity, when she sang those songs, God was bringing salvation to that family. Well, you know that eventually that dad got saved and that mom got saved, and that entire household was converted and brought to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I always think about how that it impacts the future, and how that that evangelist affected my life and the lives of countless other people. Isn't it an amazing thing how that God begins the process, and what he does for you, he can do for others, and he can use you to influence your family, your loved ones, and those that are within your reach through the power of the gospel. Amen. Praise God. Now, Peter preached in this closing part of this message. He tells them that they need to repent and be converted. They need to turn around and be saved, be born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, be converted, that your sins might be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, the word when there is a word, it's a Greek word that I can't pronounce, spelled H-O-P-O-C-E, hopus, I guess. where it says, when the times of refreshing, the word actually means so that the times of refreshing can come. Do you understand with me tonight that it's repentance and it's the cleansing and the washing and the blood of the Lamb that prepares you to receive more of God's blessing? Amen. Amen. There is no manifestation of the Spirit of God and no Holy Ghost experience without, first of all, following the pattern. You must, first of all, repent and be converted. And then the blessing of the Spirit, then the blessing of Pentecost will come. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Folks, I'm usually quite upbeat and positive, but it's been just in the last few days, you know, the devil's just jumped on my back and been lying to me, and I've just felt, I don't know, I can't even explain it, just, you know, like the enemy's been pounding on me. And as I've been going through this, through these scriptures, it just reminded me of the fact that what God sends our way through the blessing of Pentecost and through the power of the Spirit is this refreshing that comes to you. A refreshing that comes to you. It's a spiritual refreshing. It's a renewing. It's a lifting you up. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing to you spiritually, this experience of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you never experienced what I'm talking about, then I challenge you. I challenge you. As a matter of fact, this week and next weekend, we're putting the pressure on. Amen. That sounds funny, but I'm not joking. We're putting the pressure on. And the pressure is a Holy Ghost pressure that God can work in your life. And if you've never experienced this refreshing in your life, that you will receive soon. And next weekend would be great, or even tonight, in this altar tonight, that you can be touched and you can be changed. It starts with repentance, and then you go to the cross and you're cleansed and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then the process, the third thing, according to this text, is that then the times of refreshing can come. Then the outpouring of Pentecost can come and you can be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. That initial physical evidence of this Pentecostal outpouring in your life. Amen. It's the first evidence to be followed by many, many other evidences that God is working in your life. That God is moving in your life. Amen. By the power of His Spirit. Isaiah 28 and verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people. Verse 12. To whom He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who is prophesying about this verse of Scripture and this message of Peter and saying, this is a time of refreshing. This is a rest wherewith the weary can be rested. Sometimes the cares of life and the burdens of life can just weigh so heavily upon you that you just feel so weary. I mean weary to the depth of your spirit and your soul. And that's a little bit of what I've been experiencing the last few days, just not necessarily a physical weariness, but just this, what I'm describing here from God's Word. Do you know the answer to that? The answer to that is another experience of Pentecost. Amen. Another time in the presence of God. Another opportunity where you press in to the things of God and you believe that God can touch you and can help you. Isaiah prophesied about this and he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. What a wonderful prophetic message that was given. And it's a message that's so needed today for so many Christian people that's available to us just to press into the things of God. Hallelujah. And receive from the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was brought up in the Pentecostal experience. I witnessed it continually. I know that when you look back on your past, sometimes, you know, we tend to make the memories of the past better than they were, and I understand that. And I don't want to make a mistake in that respect, because I know there were problems then, and there were issues, and everybody wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody wasn't living godly lives. But I have to tell you that there was this abandonment toward God. There was this longing for the things of God. This desire, like I talked to you about there from the testimony of Sister McAdams, that there was just this desire that nothing else really mattered. That nothing else really mattered. And when we enter into that, you see, it's the cares of life. It's the burdens of your life and your life's situation. All these things, they'll mount up on you and they'll drag you down. And before you know it, you'll be so defeated and so discouraged that you cannot see any way out. I want to challenge you, if you're in the midst of that kind of a thing like I have been in recent days, I want to challenge you. Let's press in. Let's press in. Let's get a hold of God. Let's get a hold of God. And let's take advantage of this rest and this experience in Pentecost, which is available to us for a lot of different purposes. And I understand that it's an empowerment, it's an endowment of power for us to do ministry and many other great blessings and benefits that come through the Pentecostal experience. But this is one that sometimes we forget about. And that is that there's a weariness in the battle against sin, and the battle against the world and all the daily pressures of your spiritual struggle. And there's a place you can go in the Spirit. Amen. That you can press into that. And you can get the help you're in need of in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I want to challenge you tonight. Get in to this. Enter into this. Young people, children, enter into this. Let God begin to work in your heart and in your life. Come to this altar tonight, repenting, Lord. These things, I've allowed these things to become too important to me. I've allowed these things to distract me. And I've got off track from your purpose and your calling and your will for me. Lord, forgive me because I've allowed the cares of this life to do this to me. I'm sorry. And I need to be cleansed. I need to be just set free from all of these entanglements of the world. I need to be set free from that because I want to enter into the rest that you have available for me. Praise God. Hallelujah.